Three, two, one.
Are you going to play it back to them?
Yeah. Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is May 5, 1992. I'm speaking to Walter and Ruth Atwater.
My name is Walter Atwater. Eskimo name Immok. Born November 24, 1919, at Nervik, Alaska. But have moved to Deering since I can remember. I was in Deering. So, concerning about history, even way before I was born, there was mining. They began mining right here in Deering. To my understanding that I have heard as I grew up to remember that the mining company, I'm not sure which mining company it was, but Chili Corvado was the manager when I come to know the mining company at Ibnichuk River. To begin with, since the mining started some years back, I have been told as a story there was about 1,000 Russian people working on the ditch from Immok Lake to Utica. We called it Utica then. I think it's still Utica today. And that ditch is about 200 miles long, if not less or more, on either side. And during the time that this work was being done, I was told that they had 200 horses. Each camp had so many horses along the ditch line work. And the mining that I get to know was hydraulic mining. On this hydraulic mining, they had reflector nozzles. One good reflector nozzle that handles that pushes the gold into the sluice box. This is why they had to have ditch, so they had ditch dug. I don't know what year they began to digging, but it was dug already anyway when I get to know, when I was up the river as a young boy. Reason I said this hydraulic reflector nozzle had to have 90-pound pressure to operate, and as you operate this nozzle you had to handle it very careful and slowly, otherwise if you hurry up yourself as you handle the nozzle it'll throw you out right away. So this is how this reflector nozzle worked, to push the gold into the sluice boxes. Reason why they need this ditch was to have water also to sluice the gravel. So I'm just giving you these few things that I knew before many people come into this area. And I remember as a boy, Deering had two schools, one public school and one BIA school. The old public school building is standing up yet, but nobody living it, I'm sure, is pretty well down by now. And the BIA school, the first school that I went to when I was about 5 or 6 years old, was in the sod house. A building, all right, but it was, there were sods outside of it for insulation, because weathers were pretty cold. Sometimes we have 30 to 40 below zero weather all through the winter. Till wartime, I got to know it since World War II, the weather situation begins to get warmer than it was years ago. So in this time, all this time, as a boy, I've seen horse teams freighting from Deering to Utica. And sometimes they drive 6 horses to pull the sled loaded with freight. They had no trucks or no cars then at that time, and hardly any road. But as I grew up, they continued to work on the road, and the first vehicle that I get to know was Fortson tractor. That was the mining tractor and Model A car and a pickup. So that's all there was here in that time. So all the work done was by horses. Even when they built the landing field right here in Deering, they built it working with horses. And on the road, they even built part of the road with horses hauling gravel. So this was how Deering was when I began to know what was going on. So enough of that situation, but there was quite a few mining camps along the Ipnachuk River, like the Hogendorns, like the Stulls, Forsgrins. Even Blacks had camp up the river. Then this hydraulic mining company, when I get to know Tilly, Cordovado, and Emil. Emil, I think his last name was Pastoria. They were the big guys here at that time then. So Deering had quite a few white people to begin with. This is why I am sure the government has sent the native peoples to Nervik, I don't know what year it was, into a reservation. They call it reservation. This is why I was born at Nervik, so it must have been somewhere around 1916 or 17 when the government moved the native peoples into reservation at Nervik. It was called reservation then. So there we had quite a few native peoples was here. They even had houses on mouth of Kugruk River. And the cabin that I get to know was still standing up, and that used to be, they say it was Attila's cabin. That's the only name I knew, Attila. He was old man already when I began to know him. And there were many people from different villages, like from Cape Estenberg, and mostly from Cape Estenberg area, since it begins to grow. The public school was going on when I started to go to school, so the natives had their own school building. That's the sod house I mentioned to begin with. And not only that, Deering, as a mining town, they call it mining town, it already had big buildings, and they even had a saloon too, to begin with. And they close it up, I'm sure they close it up when the government boat was heading this way. They hide everything, bury everything, and bust everything like bottles. That's why the Avalitkura, what we call Avalitkura now, has lots of broken glasses over there behind where I grew up in my grandmother's home. Lots of broken bottles from Motor's place, George Motor's place, around in that area. They tried to destroy all the beer that they had, because sometimes we as boys, when we find a bottle of beer that's full, that was buried, we would open it and drink some of it, even though it tastes funny. Just want to know what it tastes like. So that's the way Deering was to begin with, but today it's different. And I begin to know that Miss Stratton was the missionary here in Deering in 1920s. Because this is where we begin to go to classes while she was here. And her cabin was still standing up while we were here in Deering. After she left, Albert Starbuck bought the cabin, I don't know from who, probably Maggots. And after Miss Stratton, we begin to have pastors, native pastors, as I remember. And to top it all, like I said, airplanes start to come somewhere in late 1920s, Noel Wiens and PAA were the first ones to come around at that time. And something very different, we begin to recognize in our lifetime right here in Deering. Deering even had a restaurant, and the restaurant was operated by Charlie Okuda. His last name was Okuda. He was from Japan. So we had restaurants, saloon, and the Maggot store, since Deering begins to grow because of the mining that has been going up the river. So as I can remember, we had quite a few white people living winter around here, like John Schaefer and Walter German and Frank Aquino. Oh, there are many others also that used to spend their winter because they have no way of getting back to the lower 48s. At that time, only way they could get out was to catch the last boat to get back down to lower 48s from here in Deering. So that's why we had many white people to begin with. So that's how I am sure the public school was in progress at that time then. And then the missionaries, like I said, was Miss Stratton, whom I get to know. Beside, there was others, but I just can't remember who they really were. And most of all, we begin to understand that when we begin our school, we begin to speak English. So this is why Miss Carlson, the traveling nurse, many years ago when she traveled from village to village by dog team then. And she been say Deering was the only place that speak English. So that was the news I got. Because there were many white peoples right here in Deering then. Then the mail carriers, mail was coming only by dog team, probably once a month or whatever, because they have to travel long ways, like from Kotzebue, Deering, Candle, that landing at Koyuk River and come back again. So mail was slow then, and after that, when the mail began to travel by airplane, mail services start to go faster. Then after we had Maggie's store going here for some time, then the Fergusons built their store at the public school building many years afterwards, and I don't know how many years they stay here in Deering. Then they also moved away from that building. So that building is empty now. So anyway, there were many natives that moved to reservation from here. And I'm sure there was Wells family and other families, but I can't remember them all. But I'm sure Alfred, while he was here, he named Bert Harvey and them, and some other people that used to live here in Deering before they were moved to reservation. So this is how Deering was to begin with. But today, we only have BIA school, and some of the big buildings are gone. There are only the Maggot store and the public school and the building that the Hogendorns had been living down in the end where they grew up in. So they are the only buildings that are left right here in Deering. And then that I can know of, things are much different right here in Deering. Now we don't even have any more mining camps up the river because of probably all the gold has been dumped out, because when the gold get high now they really should be mining all right instead of $35 an ounce. At the time that they were digging the gold, that's how much the gold was, $35 an ounce, and today it's over $400 an ounce. So if there was lots of gold, I'm sure Ibnichuk River would really open up again, because the gold is way up. So today we have mostly young generations right here in Deering. And I'm sure they are the ones that have kept Deering town going since I have left Deering 1956. When I finally come back, 1992, January 16, 15. So I don't have too much about the other things that you might want to know, but that's all I could say right now.
Thank you.
So when I left Deering, I have been a pastor since 1961 under the Evangelical Covenant Church. Then we have been in Wales. While we were in Wales, I was disabled and had to be taken to Anchorage for medication. So this is when I left the pastor work at Wales. Then we lived at Nome for a while. Then 1969 we moved to Anchorage from Nome. And all that time we've been in Anchorage till 1983. So this is when we begin to open the French church in Anchorage, because they really wanted someone down there from up here to run the church. So we've been there in Anchorage for about 13 years. Then we move up this way and we're finally home. Thank you.
Okay. My name is Ruth Outwater. Ruth, the maiden name Savak, my married name Outwater. I don't really know too much what my husband told you about, but since I remember with my parents, I first remember in Kotzebue, I was born in Shengnak, of Kobuk, and I've been moving around a lot, so I don't really know that much. And prior to Kotzebue, where I first began to know, my folks moved to Norton Bay, which is Koyuk and Shatulik. That's where I really begin to remember. And then my mother was from, her parents were from Buckland and Silwick, and my father was from Koyuk, Elam. His relatives, his close relatives are from there. And the time I went back to Buckland, I grew up at Buckland. And my husband and I met at mining camp, mining town, which is between Deering and Buckland, which is Candle. And when my husband took me home to his hometown, 54 years ago, that's when I first begin to really get to know what Deering is like. Oh yeah, prior to that, my brother James took me to Deering by dog team while Miss Stratton, the missionary, was here. That was my first trip to Deering, and then went back, and I was taken back to Deering by my husband as a bride 54 years ago. And the houses and the people, I can only describe few. I can only remember the people who have been a resident of Deering in 1938-39. The people of Deering was populated by different families and have not have moved away from Deering since then, and mostly the resident of Deering is Motus, last name by the name of Motu, and Carmens, and bring you back to the time I first came here to live. I'll try and name the families, beginning from downtown. At the present here, they built on old landing field, what was built before our time, but my husband remember it was built by pulling a big drag by the horse team, and that was the first airplane field, and we live on it now. They built new homes, and we are in the middle of the landing field, which was first landing field. The house which was on this end was Putish house. What's his first name? For English, Leonard. Leonard and Dolly Vestal's home. And they were
a family. He had a long dog team, and he was always helpful. He introduced himself as my uncle, so he was always kind of look out for me, Pudu. Dallas, the best old husband, and have children. And the next home was Dimmicks, Gordon and Mary Dimmicks. Oh, there was a house right by Putus, was missionary's house, Miss Stratton's house, but it was bought. It was bought by Albert Noyak, and later in our early years together, Walter and I lived in that house for about 2 years. And the next one is Dimmicks, Gordon and Mary Dimmicks. And then next to them was Pete and Bessie Barr. There was a big family. That was a big family there at the time. And next to them is Jack and Ina Tipman's. And that was a big family too. And between there, there was a house of Walter Barr. And he got married to oldest daughter of Jack and Ina Hickman, and raise family. There are some children here and there too, like the other families that moved away. These families are not here anymore, have moved away. And also right next to Angayak's, the church building, it's still standing, and the old church building is not used anymore, and next to it is pastor's parsonage. That parsonage have been remodeled and put more addition to it now, but the old parsonage is still the centerpiece, is still standing. And then next to them was Morris, Sam, and Sam Morris and his wife, his family. And then the next one was the next home was Hadley's little house, and that's Sarah Savak, grandpa's home. That's where Sarah was there, grew up. And then next, right next to them was, right on this end, close to the end houses, I missed Susie Thomas's house. That was right next to Barr's house, Bessie Barr's house. On the side between Dimmick's and Bar's house was Susie Thomas's house. And we go right back down where Morris's lived. That was one of them. And later, a new building was built on after I came was Charlie Clark's house, close to the end of the town down this way. Charlie Clark's house. And then one of the new houses that was built on was one of Ruth, Susie Thomas's oldest daughter, Ruth Mendenhall's, and her husband have a big family too. And then right next to them was Harry and Lucy Outwaters. And their daughter is Ethel Carmen now, and Delbert Outwater. And right next to them was the family who still have Guilford Barr's family. That's where Guilford Barr came from that big family, which is Sublette and Jacks, which is Gilbert and Rosa Barr's house. Right next to them was where my in-laws lived, Clay and Ruby Outwater. And then right next to them was where that Jones's family. No. Jones's family, Chris Jones's Paul and
Rebecca.
That your grandma Jones's family, what's their English name?
Clara Jones.
Clara Jones and her husband?
Her husband. Well, they married back to the Vera.
Oh, to the Vera anyway. That's, and then,
yeah, to the Vera.
And, Chris's father's name,
huh?
Chris Jones, Papa Matisuba?
Edward.
Oh, Edward Jones. That's where, they have a house there. And then when there was another reindeer company buildings right around there, and then ATG, which they usually use for community building to play games and all that, was right next to Kilawirak's house. And then the school building before this new building of school building was built, there was another one that has been down, and then they built a new one on it. And right next to them was Carmen's, Harry and Nellie Carmen. And then there's a lot of children there, the grown-up children was already there, married, and right next to him was what's her husband's name?
James.
Jim Black. Jim and Emma Black. And then there next to them was Johnny Taft. Johnny Taft family. And Florence, when she came up with the big family, they lived there. She married to Johnny Taft, and the Ayatollah's children were growing there, and then some were married already, which is Alice Carmen, married to Edward Carmen. And then the next house was Alma Davis's. And then he's married to Laura from Kotzebue, and have a family, raised family. Alma Davis. And then right next to them was
Henry Davis.
Henry and Julia Davis. And then
Stanley Cabrera
have a family, brought reindeer herd up this way, and was down Lane River for first few years, and then moved up here to bring her school children up here so they can attend school. And then next to them was
Cabrera.
Stanley Cabrera. And
Henry Coffin,
which is one of the stayed in Deering till he died, one of the ones who come up to be one of the miners, maybe, huh? And because he have a building way up in Kugruk, and then stayed here in village. John Douglas house and family, and then
Charlie Goodhope,
way up on the, okay, Charlie and his wife Mary Goodhope, or Susie, okay, Charlie and Susie Goodhope raised some families there, and then right next to them was
Sammy Goodhope,
and Pearl was gone already when I came. And then next was A. Schultz's family, a bigger building, but right now part of the building is up and has been usable since I've been here. And Charlie Kuda's big restaurant building there. Charlie Kuda was here, the a Japanese man.
Yeah,
and
George Motu.
And George Motu is one of the Japanese men who had married Eskimo lady.
Sally Motu.
Outwater used to be one of the outwaters. No, this was given after she was married, I'm sure. They don't go by their last names. But then these relatives are relative to outwaters. She was married to Moto. That's where her descendants are. Moto's descendants descendants and Carmen's descendants are Bars and these are there, and Jones is the resident now. And then
Frank and Nellie Knapp.
Frank and Nellie Knapp was not there anymore, but
they've been there.
I didn't catch them lived here. So further down was Bars, under the Bar family, McClassock.
Wheeler Douglas.
Oh, Wheeler Douglas first. Wheeler Douglas, which is brother to John Douglas and Mary Morris.
Okay,
Wheeler Douglas was there, and children, grown-up children, and McGersak, what's his name? Thomas Barr, and Emily Barr, raised family there, and then, is that all? And then when after I came, another family came from Kotzebue, which brought their little granddaughter, which is Pauline Barr now, that's Ganoch, and what's her English name? I forgot. Ganoch and Susie Thomas's father were here. Until they passed away.
And the last building was James and Margaret Miller.
And it was not the last one I passed where James and Margaret Miller lived. They were they lived right by where Ferguson's building was, right on the side of the what you call Terry Terry School building. And then by right by Charlie Kuda's restaurant was Taylor and Frida Motor. But at the time was Don Motor's, Don Motor was still with his parents when he got married to Sally Motor. When he got married to Selma Motor is what I was going to say. Selma, Frida, and Catherine, they were from Shishmaref, and Nora came to be in the family of Good Hopes after I came, and I came from Buckland, and we were new additions to this family at the time. And I passed Mills's, Levi and Mills, Annie Mills' family right on the side of the school building between Lucy and Ruth and Mendenhall's place. Lucy Outwaters and was Levi and Annie Mills with their family. And that's all I can remember. And I'm so thankful that I still really remember those first resident of Gearing, and I learned to love them the years I was with them as Mrs. Walter Outwater at the time. and I learned to love them, and I still remember them, the mothers who have been so good to me at the time. Thank you.
Okay, why did all the people that used to live here move away in the first place?
They moved away because there's no jobs here. They were most of them here at the time when the store belonged to a co-op at the time. Walter Outwater was the manager at the time in late 50s or early 50s. And the store was belonged to like what they called co-op store at the time, and they were controlled by a white people from lower 48s, and they really give them a bad time because they cannot just get food with IOU, you know, and at the time the mining camps were really put down by World War II. The companies who usually work up here, there was a little working along with my husband Walter, only for 3 months at a time in a year, and no financial income at the time of doing all those rest of the year at the time, and they couldn't find no jobs here. I'm sure that was why they are all gone, I mean most of the families. But Walter and I didn't want to go away at the time when we go spend a year. Walter took me to Buckland to visit my relatives where I grew up, my ancestors. My mother's side was from Buckland. When I get homesick to Buckland, that was the second time Walter took me up there to spend some time where I grew up. And this, the second time while we were there, we visited my parents who was Pastor and Koyuk at the time. And they were asking Walter and I to go up to spend one winter in Koyuk. And we were still coming back. But the time while we were there, they took Walter to pastor's position by the Evangelical Covenant Church, so we didn't come back here that many years. And then when Walter was voted in for his position, as a last yearly meeting of Friends Church Superintendent in 1983, that's when we come up this side from Anchorage where we have lived with our family. And then after 4 years, Walter's position as superintendent, we come to be here in Deering and stayed here for he was pastor here in Deering, and then we went to Nome. He still is not really retired from his position as pastor. So we're still here, but maybe we'll retire in a little bit.
Thank you, Ruth. Adiga. Just say your name first.
Evan Carmen. Bonnie Deering. Yes. Yeah, that name of Deering, as far as I could understand it, started from a sailing boat that come here one time. It must have been a Russian boat. His name was Deering. And it got stormbound here and sunk over there in front of Skugruk, Martha Skugruk. When the tide is way out, you could see some of that steel hull on the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, that's all I know about how that name came about.
I wonder if it had SS Deering. No?
Maybe. Yeah, could be. I don't know what kind of initial them other people, I mean other countries always have.
Was it a fishing boat or what, freight boat?
I don't know. It must have some kind of trading goods too. I guess it traveled all over the coast, I mean all around.
We still, it was coal, chunk of coal sometimes around here.
Oh,
it come from there or?
No, those come from barge out here when they were unloading that freight boat. And the barges haul it to shore. When it got stormy, it sunk with a load of coal. The barge broke up. That's how come that coal is out here.
You worked as a miner in your young age?
Oh yeah, we used to work up at along the Imnachuk.
Yeah,
quite a bit.
You could talk about mining.
Yeah, that Cordovera's mine that operated up there a long time. All the other young people in them days, all my older brothers, my dad, they worked up there at Utica. But in the 1930s, early 30s, somewhere along in there, Fosgren Dredging Company started from Hank Reed's mining ground. He used to have a prospecting outfit there, but he never done any. Oh, he had an old dredge, I guess, that quit working. And then later on, Fosgren's, they're the ones that come in, got Hank Freeze's mining ground and put in, they rebuilt that old dredge that was there, put new power in it, new engine, and they work. But up at Utica, Bellevue's mining company, or Dry Creek Mining Company, took over Cordovera's ground up there. And they put up, they built two new dredges to do the work. Cordovera used to use hydraulic mining, and Bellevue, the Dry Creek Mining Company, they use dredges. But up at Hogendorn's, further up, they used placer mining, you know, just, I don't know what they had, pumps. They had a ditch to hydraulic mine, small hydraulic mining outfit. And but in the early days when we were growing up, there was a lot of other little camps all along that later on weren't there anymore. There was Cal Kalam. He's above Herbie's Reindeer Creek. Oh, well, it's below Portland.
Mm-hmm.
He was there. He was still working on his, but it was just himself and maybe hired one man working. And next was Forsgren's, and then Jimmy Black's outfit. There were underground mining, and let me see who else was. Oh, A. Schultz. They had a sort of a hydraulic mine. They were working on top of the ground too. That's where Utica is now, where they last moved it. That used to be Aesop's ground. And then Utica was there, further up, and Stahl was up on a hill there. He was underground mining up there. And let me see who else was up there. Oh, Tom Roust, he'd done some mining up there in the early days. And let me see who else. Well, Hogendorn.
Cordovado.
Cordovado, yeah. He was in the early days, too, but that was other company before him, I guess. Those old people that used to work with him in later years were the original owners of that ground. Somehow or another he got some money and went in with them. There was old Emil Pastores and Jake Johnson. Ike. Yeah, I forgot his name.